Hey, everybody. Hope you're having a great week. Real quick, before we start the episode, I have a free show in Los Angeles, California, Tuesday, July 2nd at the Hollywood Improv, 9:30 p.m., featuring Elton Caste, Josh Adam Myritz, Zara Mizrahi, and other hilarious comedians. Click the link in the bio for that free show, because paying rent sucks. Also, big gig for me, Monday, July 8th at the Laugh Factory. I'm doing an audition, pretty much. If I do well, I'll get booked more at the Laugh Factory, which is a huge step in the Los Angeles comedy scene. So check me out at Fresh Faces at the Laugh Factory, July 8th. Click the link in the bio for that and use promo code FRESHFACE for $10 tickets. On this episode, we have comedian Joshua Myritz, who also has autism. We talk about autism, we talk about comedy, we talk about what he does to cope with autism, and Joshua gives some great advice towards the end directly to people and family members who are dealing with autism or who are living with autism. I'm trying to learn how to like talk better and use better language that respects people and stuff like that. Bear with me. Bear with me as I become a good person. So follow Josh on Instagram, Autistic Thunder, at Autistic Thunder. Please send him some love. I know he will love it. He will absolutely love it. So follow him on Instagram at Autistic Thunder and give him a shout. All right, let's get to it. Enjoy this episode with comedian Joshua Myritz. I'm so sorry, Dad. Welcome back to the pod. Today we're joined by comedian Josh Myritz. Heyo.
Heyo.
Ew. Can I ask you guys something?
Sure.
On stage, I like Joshua Myritz, but off stage, everyone's like, oh, yeah, you want Joshua, Joshua. I don't mind either one, but is it douchey that, because there's not a lot of Joshuas in stand-up, there's a lot of Joshuas and even rhyming words like Tosh.
Yeah.
So, like, I like using Joshua instead of Josh, at least just on stage as my stage name. But like everyone's like, I've heard from people, not about me, but like in general about, oh, if someone likes to be referred as Joshua, they're kind of like a douchebag.
I don't think it's, I see what you mean. We're like, please call me Joshua.
Yes.
But my apologies. Today in the podcast,
it's not a problem.
We have Jason Merkowitz.
What are you, now everyone else with my last name? I just tell people they can cheat and pronounce it Jew, okay?
You are a Jew.
This was very Jewish.
Very Jewish.
I mean, not religious. Well, like, I was born into the religion, but like, as soon as I got bar mitzvah, I ran for it. I'm just, yeah.
Tell us your origin story.
My origin? What am I, a superhero?
We're going to do like 4 movies about your origin story before we get it right.
Dude, but it has to be interconnected.
Yeah, an interconnected storyline.
With other superheroes.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
So, like, the autism force. Like, Here, at least my origin in comedy, I got into stand-up 10 years ago. Before then, I had no life. I lived with my parents, which is not necessarily a bad thing. I still live with them until after I got into stand-up. But the point being is I'm diagnosed high-functioning autistic. First 14 years of my life, lived in born and raised in New Jersey. I was misdiagnosed with ADHD and given medication according to that, and that fucked me up further.
Yeah.
And then once I moved to California, I was re-diagnosed because of my problems getting severe, but like I still had no life. I would just, like, even beyond school, like I tried to find social situations that I could never fit in, no matter how extrovert I was, even for an autistic person. And I always wanted to try stand-up, and so 10 years ago a friend of my sister took me to the Haha Cafe in North Hollywood. Yeah. And I got on stage, and this is the first time in my life I didn't feel anxious.
Really?
I mean, not the first time I had fun, but I had fun. I had no idea if I did good at all. But when I would talk to the other comedians, there was this immense solidarity, and I felt for first time outside of my loving immediate family included. Mm. And so I pursued this, and my parents and the other comedians, and even my doctor, not only happy for me, but told me I was doing good, so stand-up wise, so that's why I've been able to continue and pursue it as a career.
Nice, dude. Nice. That's awesome. I feel similar in that I felt like I found my community.
Yes.
A bunch of broken toys. The Island of Broken Toys.
Yeah, the Isle of Broken Toys. We're all autistic or worse. We just haven't been diagnosed, except for me.
Yeah. cool, dude. So let's see. We were just talking... Man, we had a great conversation, and then Brandon showed up.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to show up and then break the flow of everything.
Sorry, I'm going to talk over. So let's talk about autism.
Yeah, it's a common thread of my life.
Yeah. When were you first diagnosed?
About 2 months before I moved to SoCal, I had a bad situation in middle school where I was actually bullied by the teachers, in special ed even.
Yeah.
It was weird because the teachers were really good teachers, in terms of like teaching stuff, but outside of that, they were fucking jerks.
Like how so?
Like they would just talk down to me. Like even as an autistic person, I'm binary enough mentally that I can tell when someone's being like negative towards me. Mm-hmm. Like I still have a struggle reading things, but that was explicit.
Give us a snapshot, a specific memory of a teacher being.
I'll give you one of the worst ones. Sometimes they would think I was smart enough that they would put me in mainstream classes. So they put me in a mainstream history class, and I was terrible at it because they misread. I was just fucking terrible, and I had a hard time paying attention, hence the misdiagnosis of ADHD. And one day, the teacher took me she's like, stay after class. And I'm like, okay. And she took me and another kid from special ed in the same, and she took him to the side of her next to her desk and had me in front of the desk, and she said to him and pointed at him, why can't you be like him?
Whoa.
Why can't, like he does a good job, he pays attention, why? And she was yelling at me and I was crying.
Wow.
So about 2 days before I graduated middle school, I didn't know how to handle my anger. I wasn't like physically violent back then at all or anything necessarily. I just didn't know how to articulate my feelings. I was so numb from the medication, among other things, that all of a sudden I just was sitting down and I was saying, if I had a gun, I'd shoot you all. Luckily, this was two years prior to Columbine. So
you said that out loud?
Yes.
To your whole class?
But here's the thing. I was immediately not just regretful, but I just apropos of nothing. Huh. Like, I was just, I didn't, three, four years of just contained anger.
Wow. Yeah.
I didn't mean it. I told him I didn't mean it. And I was very upset that I even did it. But I was telling him even their school psychologist, why I said it, exactly why, the bullying and everything. And they didn't understand. They wanted to have a court hearing. All I had to do, my parents just brought me to an ordinary lawyer. And I told them exactly what I went through. And I never had to ever see a day in court. The lawyer just... the lawyer just told them exactly what I told them, and case dismissed.
That's
like
good.
They even said we could have countersued, but
oh wow,
yeah, but
just you saying that.
For their treatment of me.
Oh, for their treatment? I thought it was... Oh, sorry.
No, yeah, it's okay. Yeah, hey, yeah. You must be autistic too. It's all good. I get lost myself. Yeah, for their treatment of me. They want to have a hearing because of what I said, because they were scared I was some kind of danger.
Got it.
What kind of medication were you on when prescribed for ADHD?
They tried so many varieties of ADD medication on me. I mean, your Zolofts,
Adderall.
I don't think they ever did Adderall. What? Ritalin. Ritalin was the worst.
Yeah.
They did that. That did not last. That was one of the few that did not last a very long time at all. But
what would happen on Ritalin?
No, it didn't work. I would just be this jumping around.
Yeah.
energetic, anxious mess. Once again, it's funny that despite my having introverted features to this day, being so extroverted I do this bit on stage where I talk about, like, there are people, several times when I talk to people and I tell them I have my own insecurity, so because I'm scared of them being misunderstood somehow, then I'm autistic, and they're like, oh, Josh, you're so high functioning. If you never said anything, we would never know. And I tell them, give it a moment. Yeah, once you hear me go into a diatribe or two about Japanese animation, you'll be saying to yourself, kid's got the tism.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you can tell, but not in a bad way.
No, it's a high functioning once again. Yeah.
I think it helps. to be aware, like that people can be aware of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's not even, it's just being able to articulate my problems.
Yeah.
Because it's not just about my autism, just I'm always scared of being misunderstood somehow. I don't have like a victim complex or a Jesus complex or anything like that. I have a superiority complex in terms of I think everyone's way smarter than me and I'm a fucking dumbass.
Okay, so I have Asperger's.
Yes. like you're stupid, but you're not ignorant, me and you.
Uh-huh.
Like that, the royal you. That's what I'm. I didn't want to sound insulting to you somehow.
No, not at all.
But like, yeah, I double think everything, mm-hmm. and I just want like I never get defensive about something I'm hiding, mainly because I have nothing to hide at all. I get defensive about things that freak me out and scare me. I'm so scared. I get paranoid scenarios in my head. What if people thought I was this or yeah. that? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not just something I fixate on my own about, but like, I want people to know. And I know there's a lot, even though nobody's ever said this to me in terms of referring to me, but a lot of the like, what's it called when, talking about too much, that must mean, what's the phrase that goes, he talks about so much that he must be it? Like, you know what I'm trying to get at? Like,
projecting?
I mean, I project too, but
yeah,
but I have my moments of that, but I'm talking about he who.
Oh, I don't know the word, but if. You say
he who smelt it dealt it.
Yes,
that is.
I mean, I am a fart monster. So
yeah.
Maybe like if you say I'm sorry so much, people will think like, oh, he must have done something wrong.
Exactly. Yeah. I apologize a lot just because I'm terrified of everyone.
Yeah.
Even though I love everyone at the same time. Go ahead.
It seems like autistic people have the same features of non-disabled. Is that the word? What do I don't want to call. I don't want to.
No. The fully able, I guess.
Okay. It seems like autistic people have the same features as the fully abled, but
as
just,
fully abled people.
But
yes.
Certain things are heightened.
Yes.
Anxiety.
The anxiety is one of the main like problems I have in my everyday life. I mean, I'm affected by my autism one way or another, every facet of every moment of every day. Like I'm happy. I've gotten to this point in my life. My parents and my doctor never see me so happy. My doctor's always like 10 pills a day and a dick joke, whatever works.
Yeah. Are there any features that autistic people have? I mean, are there features that autistic people don't have that fully? I don't know how to.
Man, we're. I think you've got caught my inarticulateness. I'm just a mess of inarticulate.
Like, what are autistic people missing that fully abled? What was it?
We're missing our what's it called? Our filter.
Okay.
Yeah, our filter for people. I mean, I'm one of the reasons I'm happy I'm in stand-up. It really taught me social cues I actually couldn't learn from my immediate family or teachers or doctors. You guys have been a tremendous help, in whether you didn't, it's inadvertent or someone goes out of their way to be like I still have a problem reading or emitting my own sarcasm, mm-hmm. but like I've gotten better at that and know when someone's fucking with me. Like, yeah. I still have my difficulties. For instance, I'm friends with Jamar Neighbors. Jamar Neighbors is an amazing comic. He's, like, on the cusp of a huge success, I feel
yeah,
like.
Yeah, he's going to be a huge comedian.
Yes.
Like
he's
going to
be a big deal. Like, the fact...
Not Chappelle-esque.
Yeah.
If it ain't now, it's going to be, like, Tiffany Haddish and Leslie Jones, where
100%.
He's years and years in, and he finally gets noticed.
He's got it all. He's got the look.
But he's really good at fucking with me. He's really good. He'll have, like, little, like, physical cues that usually mean he's fucking with me, but he does things in such a way that I feel I did something wrong, and I love him, and I'm not talking shit. He's just really good at it, and it really fucks with me. And it's something I've been fixating even these days about like oh God, have I been a bad friend?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing but love to everyone, even people who are like who can be really shitty towards me. You know,
right.
I just trying to do my best as a human being.
That's great. That's all we can ask for in this world.
Yes.
There was one point we were at an open mic together,
mm-hmm.
and you were talking about comic books,
mm-hmm.
and you were like, "Right, do you like comic books?" And I made a joke saying like, not really, because I had friends in high school, and I'm not a fucking nerd." And you're I mean that. It's not like a funny joke.
Yeah.
Right.
It was just like, I'm going to be an asshole as a joke.
Right.
And you couldn't tell I was kidding. That was a moment where I had to be like, oh, dude, I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding. You're like, okay. I couldn't tell.
Yeah. I never get mad. I'm always like trying to it's, I already have a brain that double thinks things, not in a smart way, in a like, someone will say something and my brain will double think it and I have to ask them again just to make sure.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm always in a state of trying to read people properly. So I'm giving them clout to sort of get an idea of what they're doing. It's difficult, but I like, for instance, in the end, you figured out to say, oh, no, I'm just kidding. I don't think I would have gotten upset unless you, like, I wouldn't have got upset, but I get a bad idea of you if you really leaned into it. But you did.
Yeah.
That, once again, immense solidarity, because sometimes I'll try sarcasm, and I'll mess up really bad, and I'm like, no, I'll immediately, before the sentence is even done, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. A lot of people also do that. Like, a lot of people are just like, don't know how to do sarcasm, just in general.
Yeah.
This is like kind of hard.
We're all autistic or worse.
And I'll tell you what, I've tried out that joke. No, I had friends in high school.
Right.
It's, no one ever laughs.
Yeah. So you just got to pack it in and work on other stuff.
I got to toss that one.
Yeah. I'm so happy. I have such a hard time riding, though. Like,
what do you mean? Riding?
Riding. Yeah, I don't drive or anything, so no riding in terms of that. I will tell you, though, my anxiety from autism is so bad, I can't drive because I'm scared. In terms of driving myself, I'm scared of the responsibility, is like everything that it requires, because I don't want to do it wrong. And in terms of being a passenger, I can freak out if someone's driving really like tight turns or speeding up in particular. I'll start like full on freaking out. Yeah. And it's go ahead.
What do your freakouts look like?
No, I just start like, I don't know. It's something I can't necessarily recreate. Mm-hmm. It's something in the moment, but it's something along the lines of, please stop. I'm sorry. Stop. You're driving too fast. Please. Something along the lines of that. It's something like, because the anxiety sometimes it's also about trying to recreate that anxiety, even if it was something on stage, because it'll become a real like anxiety attack. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad I basically can't recreate, but if I could, I'd be even worse condition.
Yeah.
This is why I would never, one of the many reasons I wouldn't be an actor either, so.
What kind of medication are you on now?
I'm on four different kinds, Luvox, Seroquel, Clomipramine, and Luvox, Seroquel, Clomipramine, and I'm forgetting, Clomipramine. Oh, and anaphronil.
Okay. What are those for?
Behavior modification, anxiety.
Seroquel is anxiety, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
One of the good benefits of that, helps me sleep a little. It's inconsistent, especially since I've taken it for years. Mm-hmm. It basically helps. I'm still a fucking super mess, but it's better than being like a literal maniac from the anxiety.
Huh. Wow.
I'm ultimately not violent, but I had a bad situation about a couple years before I got into stand-up. My sister convinced me I shouldn't take my meds. Mom and dad are wrong. You're perfectly fine. That's why they met you. They accepted the misdiagnosis of ADD. And so I was like, well, my sister's saying it. Maybe she's right. So I stopped taking my meds, and I went fucking insane.
How so?
I'd be screaming. You would think I was like very bipolar, because I'd be constantly, oh, I'm very nice, and I can't go straight to, you're judging me. I wouldn't be using that voice, but I'd just be out of my mind, and to the point that I finally was becoming physically abusive towards my parents, and I pushed over my dad one day. And he's like, take your meds or I'm calling the cops. And I freaked out about that. So I started taking my meds again. And even though I've been more than forgiven by my parents, I will never let it go, in terms of like, I'm scared if I let it go, then I'll become that person again somehow, even uh-huh. with the meds. So, like, a lot of people are like, you're too hard on yourself, Joshua. You got to let go. Your parents love you. They know you're a good person. And I hope it doesn't sound like I'm talking for others. I'm merely repeating. But, I'm very practically religious about taking my meds now because I never want to become that person again. I don't like the idea of violence. I think the only idea of violence I like these days is punching a Nazi, but that's legal at this point. But I wouldn't do it. Granted, I'm a bit of a coward. I wouldn't do it myself. But I'll authorize it for sure.
You endorse other people doing it.
Dude, they're Nazis. Punch it. Yeah. That's what this country was founded on. I wouldn't. But ultimately, I don't endorse or even want to do myself violence. You know?
Right. Well, that's good. And we were talking about, I had watched the HBO documentary about the autism,
the group of autistic comedy comedians. Troupe.
Yeah. You said you don't like watching autistic people.
Yeah, I don't like watching even like impressions of autistic people like Rain Man, simply because it reminds me of my own problems, and I'm already enraptured. The opposite of enraptured, where you're wrapped up in you. Like I fixate. I'm stuck in my problems enough already. I was saying before I have a very hard time writing or even reviewing my stand up. I'm always thinking of stuff, but my anxiety is so strong. I feel like something's metaphysically pushing me into my bed, not want to deal with the world. I don't like watching other autistic people because I don't want to deal with my own problem. I mean, right. I want to deal with I'm very fond of holding myself accountable. I just don't want to be reminded of it if possible.
That like makes sense.
I support, love, and want to do my best to represent people with mental disabilities as someone with a mental disability himself. That reminds me, I've had situations, including like freaking out during a car ride, where I was explaining the problem and like this mental disability, and because I'm so high functioning, they think you're not disabled, Josh. And I'm like, no, I wouldn't repeat something unless my very good doctor at UCLA Medical didn't say it himself.
Uh-huh. Right.
So like, that's crazy that like, do you think I would lie to you at this point?
Right.
Yeah. Not the royal you, but like in that situation, I'm freaking out and I'm trying to explain this.
Let's talk about the difficult balance that we were talking about before, where you want to embrace your autism, but also
I do embrace my autism,
but you don't want to exploit it in Hollywood and stuff.
Yeah,
I don't want to be I'm scared of being a gimmick.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. I have a joke called Autistic Thunder based off the fact that people are like, oh, you're so smart. You must be like you're like a superhero. So I came up with a whole gimmick. This won't be a joke I'll do on here because I know you got to save it for the stage.
Yep.
I became my mother for some reason. Joshua, you're going to be the next Adam Sandler. You're the best. You're my Pookie with the Mookie. All right.
You're going to find a nice Jewish girl.
A nice Jewish girl. Mom, let me find a girl.
She's got to be a Jew.
None of these shixes.
What does that mean?
Me meaning non-Jewish women.
Oh, okay.
They have to be going in. Okay.
She really talks like that?
When I do my impression of my mother, it's the most apt impression of my parents. When I do my father, it's a little bit more exaggerated. Like, Joshua, you're going to be the next show, the Apple Towel. You're going to make us a lot of money, move us to Malibu. You live in Calabasas already, Dad. Jesus. It's very nice.
All right. So we were just about to talk about
I don't want to be exploited. Okay. So I've been doing that joke Autistic Thunder for a very long time, even before I had social media. And in those early days, when I first came up to the joke, a lot of comedians, including Jamar, was like, oh, that's got to be your Twitter, your Instagram. And I'm like, yeah. And everyone chuckles whenever they hear it. And I even have like a bio, Autistic Nerd Comedian Who Will Die Alone. It will be hilarious. Yeah. But here's the thing. I write those on there because of the wording. Ultimately, I'm not an autistic comedian. I'm a comedian who happens to be autistic because I don't want people to think this is a gimmick. Like, I have to talk about autism a lot on stage because it invades every facet of my being. So it's something I can't not pull from.
Right. Yeah.
But like the goal also being like, especially if I somehow, and I'm not trying to be, but if I somehow gain some sort of modicum of fame and have fans, like eventually move past material by while still somehow talking about it, but talking about completely different things,
yeah,
unrelated to it at all, without talking about autism.
Do you address your autism on stage right away or at all?
Yeah, I do because there are people like, if you don't mention it, people are going to get a weird. But like, then there's people like, you don't have. I get very conflicting views from comedians. Some are like, oh yeah, that makes sense, because sometimes you have a weird energy about you, or people feel something's off if I don't like say it. But then there's plenty of comedians who are like, oh Joshua, you don't have to say you're autistic. Just do your jokes. It'll be fine. In the end, I rather introduce myself as autistic, because also it's great to just pair off from there, you know?
Yeah.
Like I say on stage, no, I've already said stuff, but you get the idea. I say, hey, I'm autistic. It's like being retarded, except I'm smart or something like that. I just say feel free to laugh. Don't get weird on me. I'll be weird for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you definitely should acknowledge it.
I hold it with pride in a sense.
Yeah. Cause it can be distracting if the audience is like, how come he's acting different? Mm. It's just like if I was to like spill coffee all over my shirt before going up, if I didn't address
not acknowledge
that,
it, yeah,
I'd be like, what's up with this fucking shirt?
Yeah.
Well, and here's the thing, though. Also, it's not like a physical thing I display. It's just as I'm talking, there's something, I guess you could say, off.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be, it has to be affirmed. It has to be explained. I'd rather do that than not mention that at all.
Yeah.
But it runs the risk of gimmicking it, which is a fear of mine. I was saying before, I get very upset if I'm defensive about something, but I'm never defensive. I don't hide anything either. It's okay to be defensive about things you merely fear, as opposed to hiding something that you somehow are.
Mm-hmm. Are there any,
articulated that properly. Sorry, go ahead.
Yep. Are there any, values or benefits to autism?
There's a sort of inherent kindness that comes from it.
Yeah.
You're just trying to work with people and be polite and be extremely honest. Like, I've made my mistakes being too honest, because I think, oh, I'm being good, and then it's just pure tactlessness. Uh-huh. Like I've had women ask me out, and I would say no, and they'd ask why, and I said, oh, because you're fat.
Yeah.
Now here's the thing. Here's the thing. Especially as a growing person, maturing, I don't hate fat women, and I'm not shallow.
Right.
I'm a fat person myself. I don't like the way I look. I'm not saying they shouldn't be fat or anything. I'm very body positive for what it's worth. I just, why I shouldn't date someone I'm not going to be physically, mentally and physically attracted to. It has to be, I feel it basically has to be both, between both people. I know it's also a matter of chemistry, but like, it wouldn't be fair to her if we got into a sexual situation. I couldn't get hard for her because I wasn't attracted to her body.
Right.
That's not fair to her. That's what I'm thinking when I say that. I've rarely made the mistake where I just outright, even on stage, say, oh, you're fat. I've only made that mistake once at like an open mic.
What do we think the world would be like if everyone was autistic?
It might be a little bit more difficult. Remember, we can tend to think in binary terms. Like this whole thing about talking about defensiveness being about, it doesn't necessarily mean you're hiding something, but something you're scared of. I'm scared those things if I do it. Let's say even like stepping on someone's foot and not apologizing, that means I'm a bad person. That doesn't mean I put my values on others, though. Like you live your own lives. As long as you don't common sensibly hurt or take advantage of another, I'm not going to judge you. Like we were talking about another comedian who can be a real asshole, but in the end, he's monstrous in a way, but he's not. It doesn't seem like he's actively hurting anyone. So, but like, if I was doing the same thing, I would think I'm dirt. I'm a bad person. I'm common sensibly a bad in my mind. And it's not common sensibly when it comes to me. I'm a bad person. Everyone's going to abandon me. Like, it becomes very sharply like black and white.
I think I've been there when that comedian was being mean to you. And he was just like, Josh, stop going up to people and just talking.
Yeah.
Like, you got to stop doing that. Like, right? Am I right?
Basically, it is very frustrating because of my tactlessness. I'm friendly, but I can't read the social cues, especially in the beginning of stand-up. I would just go up to comedians, whether they were famous or not. I don't care about fame at all. I'm just trying to be friendly, and I like talking to people about movies, so I just go up to, like, Crystal Lee and just start talking apropos of nothing and say, hey, did you see this movie? This guy made me so self-conscious about it that I've stopped going to Crystal Lee in general. Like I haven't done that for years because I'm friendly. I've bumped into Chris at like the Arclight and just said hello and oh, what movie you see? Well, I'm seeing this and that. Yeah. I'm never trying to get anything from anyone. If there's something I want, I will respectfully ask about it.
Well, I'll tell you what, about that male comedian that's mean to you, really makes me want to kick Brian Redband's ass.
It's not Redband. Redband's been nothing but great to me.
Redband's one of the best dudes in the world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pardon the interruption, but this episode is brought to you by ButcherBox. You guys know I love ButcherBox. I order from them monthly, and it helps me save money, and it's grass-fed meat delivered right to my door. They it's on dry ice, so it stays cold. I put it right in my freezer, defrost it beforehand, and boom, saving money, eating well. It's healthy stuff. And this month, ButcherBox is offering free bacon for life! Sign up now and you'll get one package of the best tasting bacon free in every box for life of your subscription. ButcherBox bacon is Whole30 approved, uncured, nitrate and sugar free. So what is ButcherBox? I explained it a little bit. I'll tell you more. ButcherBox makes it easy to get high quality meat that you can trust. Every month, ButcherBox delivers 100% grass-fed meat and grass-finished beef, free-range organic chicken, heritage breed pork, and wild Alaskan salmon directly to your door. The incredible quality of ButcherBox meats start with the commitment to raise animals humanely and never fed antibiotics or hormones. That's a big one for me because the older I get, the more wise I am, and it just makes me feel bad when I know that animals are being abused. So ButcherBox will help you save money, and you're doing a good service. Each box comes with at least 9 to 11 pounds of meat, which is enough for 24 individual-sized meals. You can choose from 5 different box types. All beef, beef and chicken, beef and pork, mixed box, custom box. The custom box, you choose your own cuts. My whole family uses ButcherBox. I texted them our promo code, and everyone's using it. And you guys are using it, too. That's why ButcherBox keeps on working with us. So thank you for ordering your ButcherBox. To receive $20 off your first box and a package of free bacon in every box for the life of your subscription, go to ButcherBox.com/dad or enter dad at checkout. Go now, limited time offer. ButcherBox bacon is sourced from heritage breed pigs and is uncured, nitrate-free, and sugar-free. So go to ButcherBox.com/dad or enter dad at checkout and join the club.
Talk about famous people in surreal moments. Like, once again, I'm not trying to become famous or get things from famous people. I'm a big old nerd, and I enjoy things like Aqua Teen Hunger Force and like cartoons like that. And Redband got me to meet MC Chris, who used to do voices on Aqua Teen Hunger Force and C-Lab 2021. He's a nerdcore rapper. Because he made me friendly with him, I got to open for MC Chris.
Oh, hell yeah.
This was great. Also, not just to perform for a nerdy audience, which was one of my favorite audiences because they get you if you're a fellow nerd.
Yeah.
But my twin brother wanted to come to this
too. Whoa, you got a twin brother?
I'm fraternal twin. He looks like my dad. I look like my mom. He's not autistic at all. He's perfectly normal. He gets puss. I have Asperger's, but he's an asshole.
Yeah.
He's a good person. He's just a bit of a douche. And by the way, when I say puss, I'm not misogynist. It's just something funny. Once again, it's wording. It's funny.
Yeah. One thing about this podcast, I'm misogynist.
Yeah, yeah, you can't take that title away from
me. Oh, no problem. I'm just speaking for myself. I, once again, I'm not judging. Live your life your own way. As long as you aren't physically hurting or taking advantage of another human being.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
I'm
not.
You're a
genuinely sweet person. Rye is filled with hate towards women, genuinely.
He thinks you're serious.
Fuck.
No, you're all good. I could tell you're joking. By the way, Brandon, I hope I haven't talked over you.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I feel like I just talked over you.
No, you're perfectly fine. Much love.
See what happens is Brandon sucks at podcasting, He just doesn't know what the fuck he's doing.
Talk, baby, talk.
Actually, I noticed your voice today. Extremely sexy. Can you talk?
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on?
Ooh, fuck.
I just came.
Hell yeah.
Say more.
What'd you guys think of that new Child's Play film?
We're seeing it today.
Yeah. You're seeing it today?
You want to go?
Oh, I just saw it yesterday.
Oh, is it bad or good?
It's good.
Okay, good.
It's not, it's not disappointing at all.
Okay.
Okay, good.
It's good. It's different, though.
One of the first things. Different. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you.
Oh, you're good.
Good. That's perfect. I love Mark Hamill. I like Aubrey Plaza. One of the first things I ever talked to Ryan about is we talk about movies. And he's like, I love horror movies. I love horror movies too. So for years we've been trying to see a movie together. And be me, because I'm so terrified of everyone, even my friends and my family, I wouldn't message him or anything because I was scared I was bothering somehow. I do this with everyone. But when I'd see him, I'd bring it up like, oh, let's get food or let's get a movie. So I saw him at the potluck at Comedy Store open mic. And I'm like, oh, the new Child's Play is coming out. It looks bad, but at least it's a horror movie to see together. And I didn't say it looks bad. It looks like it could go either way. Like cautious optimism. Like the new Terminator produced by James Cameron and directed by Tim Miller. That's a lineup for a good thing. I know the last fucking couple Terminators have been shit. But this one looks like it could finally be good for once. But I'm cautiously optimistic. I have no idea how it'll turn out.
Well, I think the difference is Terminator, those first two movies are like actual like masterpieces of film. Like
One of the greatest sequels ever.
Yeah. So
James Cameron.
I'm going to go for a walk while you guys discuss movies.
No problem. Dude, he was killing it in terms of sequels. Between Aliens and T2, dude, greatest sequels of all time.
Amazing.
It's like he kind of started to really fall off after like True Lies. True Lies was great, but then he did Titanic and then his ego grew. Like there's interviews with him where he comes out and or what people talking about him where apparently he's this gigantic egotistical asshole.
Oh yeah, I've heard a few stories about that. But I mean, like, the guy made two of the highest grossing movies of all time.
And he's produced some good movies too.
Yeah, sure. But what I was saying, the parallel there is that I could see why people are like, oh, all the new Terminator movies are terrible because they're going, like, the first two movies are classics.
Oh, yeah, but they can't live up to them.
But Child's Play is not, like, this masterpiece. Like, the first movie is, it's a good movie. It's great.
It's fun.
It's fun, and it knows what it is.
Bride of Chucky's pretty funny, yeah.
I love Seed of Chucky. Seed of Chucky, I'm one of the few people that love that movie.
Yeah, Seed of Chucky was very, the pacing and everything about it just, it fell off.
I appreciate what it was doing. It's like taking a comedic, like almost straight comedic.
My idea about Seed of Chucky was they got the wrong ideas in terms of comedy based off of Bride of Chucky. I feel like there was a good mix throughout that movie of comedy and horror and just general pacing that Seed of Chucky couldn't live up to.
Yeah, I could see that. But what I'm saying is that the new one is, it's right in that line. It's like, it feels, it's different. It's new. It feels fresh.
Good. I'm always happy to see a movie. Me and my dad, we get almost every Friday night of the year, we get dinner and a movie, especially once they moved away. I don't have to deal with your mother. I can drive all the way out to Hollywood. Look at all the tukuses and the bosoms.
Is the new Chucky movie scary at all? Or is it just fun?
Have you been scared by a movie since you were a kid?
No.
They're not scary anymore.
That's why I don't like care much for the Conjuring series of movies and whatever spinoffs like Annabelle. Like they're creepy, sure, but they don't do anything for me. The last movie that I still like watch once in a while or show to people, and I was talking about this with Ryan before, I feel super underrated and super low-key good is Event Horizon from like 97, 98, starring Lawrence Fishburne and Sam Neill, and directed by the guy who did all the Resident Evil movies and the first Mortal Kombat, which is a pretty fun movie.
Have you seen that?
Mortal Kombat?
Paul or W. Event Horizon.
I've not
married
seen it,
Mila Jovovich. That's why. It's funny.
Paul W.S. Anderson or Paul Thomas Anderson?
No, Paul W.S. Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
The British dude.
Got
he directed the first Alien vs. Predator, and he's directed most of the Resident Evil movies. Here's the thing. I liked the very first Resident Evil movie, and it still had that creepy feel and feeling and ambience to it that you got that he did with Event Horizon. But then with the third Resident Evil on, they just became shit.
Yeah.
And he's basically very bad director. But like he knows how to have fun with things. He would make these shoddy Resident Evil movies, but because of the pedigree of the love from the video games, they would just make bonkers money for him and Capcom. So,
well, that's the thing. Like, there are certain directors that are like masters of schlock. Like he's a master of schlock. I also think schlock's just like
shit movies that are kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, they're entertaining even though they're bad. But it's like it's a self awareness. Like, oh, this is not.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes people get the wrong idea and think that it's usually shitty directors that think they made a perfectly serious movie.
Yeah.
And it gets successful, but because it's such a terrible movie, and they think, I'm gonna make a sequel because it's I'm talking namely about like your Birdemics and your The Room.
Yeah, yeah.
Like where they make a movie they think is sensational and serious, and then it gets successful for all the wrong reasons. So they're like, oh yeah, it's a comedy. I'm gonna make a sequel with the self awareness and they're fucking god awful.
Terrible, because all the comedy of the first movie came from
inherent nonsense that the director doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, it's basically like the big joke is the movie because the director. Yeah,
the director.
Yeah, the shitty director. But then Birdemic too.
I didn't mean to be pedantic. By the way, I apologize.
No, you're right. You should check out Brandon's short films on YouTube. Hilarious.
I mean, I practically became a fan of you guys the same way everyone else did with the Vines and whatnot. What am I, an old Jewish parent? I mean, I am my parents' child.
The Vines.
Did you watch the Vines? Definitely my mother's child. I even have a hefty Jewish bosom.
Yeah, you got a great ass,
bro. Yeah, dude.
Dude, I try. It sticks out a little, you know?
Yeah.
I wish I would find myself a lady, but whatever. The best is I'm a very insecure person, but I know what I'm secure about. I'm very secure in my masculinity. Like, I love and respect everyone in the LGBTQ+ community. So like, there have been times where especially during Halloween, I'd go down to Boys Town and they'd play 90s house music from like huge speakers. And like, I may not be a gay man, but I do love 90s house.
Oh yeah.
So I dance around and I get super sweaty and I almost took my shirt off. And then I realized if I did that, I just would have a whole line of bears chasing after me. Santa Monica Boulevard, the one place where someone finds me attractive.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So have you ever had a girlfriend?
No. I mean, yeah, technically, yes. So I was saying way earlier in this podcast that I would try to find social situations and groups where I would fit in. I'm a big Japanese comic book and anime fan. And so I would go. They would have an open to a public anime club at UCLA. And I went there for about 5 years. And there was always this girl who was kind of annoying, but sweet and cute. And I slowly grew a crush on her, and I asked her out, and she was a weird, lonely nerd like me, and she said yes, and we got into a relationship, and we were together for a year. And
nice.
But it didn't work out, especially since she didn't find me physically attractive by the end. It was also good we broke up because she was, not an insult, but she was kind of like Puritan Christian like upbringing and kind of prudish. And I also, it was mainly my fault because I was also rushing into things in the relationship because even to this day, even though I don't rush into things like I did then, and this is over a decade ago, this has to be like 15 years ago. I still don't know what the fuck I'm doing on dates. I just try my best to be loving and respectful towards my date, especially even if we don't become romantic, I still want to be their friend for the most part.
Yeah.
That's why I want to date like another comedian, because they're mainly my friend and I'm comfortable with them and relate to them way more than I could a woman on the outside of comedy, even though I'm open to women on the outside of comedy. Oh, by the way, on the fat thing before, I become more attracted to thick women and the like. My tastes have grown. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hope I don't sound shallow or misogynistic. No. Like there, and when it comes to, or fat, there's exceptions to mm-hmm. the rule. But and I'm ultimately not gross towards women. I want to become friends with them first before anything.
Yeah, I don't think it's totally normal to be unattracted to overweight people.
Yes, I understand if women are unattracted to me because I'm overweight. It's completely understandable. You have to be basically mentally, physically attracted. I know there's exceptions to rule, or people will find another attractive even if they're not normally attracted to someone, whether based on something mentally or physically. Mm. I just want to find romance. I was telling you before, like, there have been many times, where I ask a girl I'm crushing on, and she says yes, and I just come a little in my pants. Like, it's not even, like, the idea, like, oh, I might have sex with this person. No, not at all. It's, oh, a woman I'm mentally and physically attracted to has said yes to a date. I've literally walked an entire mile and a half with a hard-on and not really cared or thought about it because I was thinking so much. I was having a hard-on based on thoughts about, oh, we're going to get Japanese ramen. It's going to just be nice and talk to each other.
Yeah. You know?
I don't blame anyone for being unattracted to me as long as I'm not being a shitty human being. Yeah. That's my whole thing. Once again, even though sometimes I go too far in my judgment towards only myself, I pride myself as a good person. To the point, like, I say a lot of things that people would these days call woke, but I don't like the idea of being called woke because I think at this point it's kind of not even slang anymore. It's kind of almost gimmicky in self or even fake.
Yeah.
Like, so I tell them, oh, I'm not woke. I'm just trying to be a good person.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's nice. That's refreshing.
Yeah. I'm not trying to be egotistical or anything. Like I worry too much to be egotistical. Like, I want to make sure I'm not talking over people. Go ahead.
No, you're fine. You're fine. But, to that point about how woke is like almost a gimmick.
There
was, a big writer that was, he had a bunch of allegations come out against him recently on Twitter. And somebody was like, I was about to write, this person is canceled, but then I realized I'm not 12 years old. And right. I'm actually going to say this person is, has to face the repercussions of his actions. And I was like, oh, right. I forgot. Like, that's what these people need to do. Do you know what I mean?
Were you about to genuinely say canceled?
No, not me. This is a different person.
Right.
No. This is different. I just read this tweet. This is somebody else. Somebody else was tweeting this, and she was saying, like, I was gonna say that this guy is canceled, but then I forgot, like, I'm not like 12 anymore, and that I hope that this man sees repercussions for his shitty actions. And I was like, I like that more. But like, that's what you would want.
This person is canceled.
Yeah. Yes. Just like, that's just so,
can't believe this guy's still working.
Yeah.
Here's what I'll say about that. As even though I'm someone who tends to think in black and white, and I'm allowed gray areas, in terms of that finally understanding complicated things a bit better on that canceled thing. Like, I don't agree. Even I saying someone's canceled is stupid. I'm at the same time all about accountability. I want people, including myself, to be held accountable for their actions. So while I get upset about these people, I'm not going to be like, oh, they're canceled. I'm going to say it to myself, I hope this person sees repercussions for maybe not heavy. It all depends. Everyone does different things of different severities. We shouldn't seek the most severe of punishments. Mm. It's all about individual process. Yeah, it's how I work with other people in general. Like I'm willing to be wrong. Like mm-hmm. When it comes to like those woke things, like it's like wearing a T-shirt of a band you actually like, and not just wearing it because it makes you look good.
Yeah,
I genuinely.
Good example.
Yes, I genuinely believe in the things I believe in. That's why I say them. But at the same time, I'm willing to listen to the other side as long as they're not like out and out, but the Jews, or like conspiracy theorist bullshit. Like, I will listen to them a little bit, but as long as like they're not outright like out, as long as they're not outright alt-right. Like,
yeah.
Like once again, I'm not gonna, as both a Jew and a trying someone who generally wants to believe and do right by human beings, a Nazi's a Nazi.
Yep. Conspiracy theories bore the maybe same. Not bore. I don't want to.
I feel
hear
it's
it.
Wasted
yeah,
energy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah. Deal with what's actually in front of you. Yeah, that's yeah. what I was all actually always taught. Because once again, I fixate on things. I have paranoid scenarios in my head, but it's never conspiracies or thinking I'm being wrong. I'm just obsessed with my fear of because I have, as part of my disability, was diagnosed as a perceptual impairment. So I already have a hard time reading people and whatnot.
Imagine if part of your autism was like you obsessed over conspiracy theories. You would lose your mind.
I'm sure there's plenty of them. Instead, I enjoy more like the behind the scenes stuff about pro wrestling. Like I say on stage, I'm the dumbest autistic person you'll ever meet. I don't know anything about math or science or physics, but it loves me the Japanese comic books.
Oh yeah. Good. Were you good at school? Good student?
No, not really. I had a hard time paying attention. I was solid, if at most.
You got like B's? B's and C's?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Or whatever A judge graded on a curve. I'm assuming get rid of it. I honestly didn't care as long as I didn't get D's or F's. Like, yeah. And I put genuine heart and energy into things. It was a struggle. I'm surprised people think I'm intelligent. I'm not, I'm just not ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I care about is just not being ignorant.
I think, a common belief about autistic people. I almost put my mouth away from the mic.
Can I tell you? I used to do my own podcast about pro wrestling and pizza. It was called Josh Loves Some Pizza, brackets also pro wrestling. And I literally eat into the mic, chewing, and sometimes burp. I thought it was funny. It didn't work. Anyways.
Yeah, my apologies to everyone listening for...
Purposely.
For even considering not burping into the mic.
Fucking piece of shit.
So love I feel like a lot of people... Maybe it's a stereotype of autistic people that, like, oh, he's autistic. I bet he's amazing at one thing.
Yeah,
is that real?
The hyper focus. Yes and no. My hyper focuses are always on, and I'm not really encyclopedic on them, but I my love of them, I do get a large amount of knowledge, whether in a sense retained. So I like, for instance, I mentioned pro wrestling. I love pro wrestling. I don't think I actually know what's going on outside of common sensible like things that have been talked about by people who are actually in the business.
Uh-huh.
But there's a lot of people who are like, oh, I'm gonna say this, or there's people who think, or they pretend. Because they love pro wrestling, especially on Twitter, that, oh, I'm going to be a heel too. I'm going to pretend to be a bad guy on the internet. Yeah. Like, you're a fucking spaz. Shut the fuck up. like I love pro wrestling and I respect the business. But at the same time, how am I going to articulate this? There's a lot of people who are like, oh, I'm an insider because I listen to other insiders. Once again, I deal with common sensibly proven things. For instance, John Oliver has talked about it on his show.
John Oliver.
Yeah,
that's my impression.
Dr. Oz is not a doctor. He's a quack.
That's I can think of one time on the Colbert Report. He came from under the. He has a like a chimney sweep. He came under Stephen Colbert's desk.
Yeah.
All right, sir, or something like that.
No idea what you just said.
I'm an idiot. Don't mind me. I like to say sometimes, don't mind me. I'm a retard baby. It's all good.
Okay.
I'm everybody's favorite retard baby. Anyways, by the way, I do say the word a couple times in my set, retard. It's not meant to be disrespectful to people with disabilities. It's one done in ways that's funny. Two, based on the fact I was, even though I'm not retarded, I was constantly made fun of and called retarded, even by my twin brother. Not anymore to this day, but like, but I have a very long past of being called retarded or treated like I was retarded, like like kind of like not talked down to, but kind of like, oh, don't worry, buddy. Right. I'm sure you're doing just great. Like, I'm a human being. Be real.
Yeah,
with me.
I get concerned that I do that to you at the Comedy Store sometimes.
No, you never did it. Okay, so you're perfectly fine. But like, what was my whole point of me getting? Oh. So I'll say on stage, like I said early in the podcast, like it's if I were to tell you what feeling being autistic feels like, it's like being retarded except I'm smart. Basically, right. I'm using it to shit on those who would call me retarded, as opposed to. And there's I'd like to think there's like a miniature amount of carte blanche I have as someone with a mental disability. I mean I'm absolutely not retarded, but like I just come from a past of dealing with retardation even as someone who's not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to if someone really thought not even just one person, if a good amount of people thought I was in the wrong for doing it, I would apologize and not do it anymore.
Yeah, I see what you mean. It's a
kind of individual process.
It's kind of too bad when words change their meanings. There's a bar in Boston called The Sevens. I don't know if that bar's still there. I don't know if the news clipping is still there, but I was in there once from a news clipping from like 1994, and in the headline, it was like about the bar, but then below it was like, school opens up a system for retards. We're like, retarded kids now accepted.
Can I tell you? What I figure it is it's the same like any straight person using the gay F word. Like, as long as it's used in a funny context where we know, oh, you're not serious. Or even if it's like something truthful, but like it's so funny that you can't blame them. Then that's how I use it. If it's always going to be unacceptable to someone, but I think as long as the intent isn't malicious.
Right. I've been trying a joke, a true story that includes the hard F word. My grandmother called me that one day, and it's a funny story. Gets big laughs at open mics. I did it at a real show, and people are just like,
I once did an improv. By the way, I hope I don't sound like, oh, he talks so much, he likes the sound of his own voice or anything like that.
No.
Okay,
no.
Thank you for letting me ask. I appreciate the affirmation. I used to, and I still like to do, if I can get to one, an improv open mic, an improv jam.
Oh, yeah.
And I was trying to be in character, I was playing, I guess, some kind of like basketball player in New York. And the people in front of me were like being overly effeminate in character. And I thought, oh, it would be funny in character as some sort of hard-nosed Brooklyn. So I was like, what is this shit? And it got a
Wait. Say that again. What?
I blanked it. I blanked the hard F word.
What? You said, I didn't hear the words before it.
Right. I said, what the hell is this?
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
But in character, and it got a ooh, and including my friend who was in the same sketch, because he's usually good about like one way or another letting me know I accidentally crossed the line. So right after that, not only did I show immediate remorse, but I was apologizing to everyone, even people involved, just even audience members, like, please know I'm a good person. I'm insecure, not just about people thinking I'm bad, but like and the other guys that were doing the improv job, they basically understood that like I don't actually like
totally
mean it. I was just doing it because I was trying to do something that felt right and funny in character.
I think you're so likable and obviously kind. I think most people can tell that you're kidding.
I hope so, not to toot my own horn. I once again, I'm terrified of everyone. I don't want to cause any reason for someone to run screaming for me.
Right. So we got to wrap this up soon, but I'm assuming we have some autistic people listening.
That'd be nice. I hope I was of positive existence to them.
Hopefully they can look up to you. Is there anything, any advice you would give to a fellow autistic retard?
You son of a bitch. How dare... No. there's a lot of autistic people who want to get into comedy, and that's great. It's the same, but this is the same advice you'd give to anyone else. If you want to start, start. You're not doing, if you're not doing anything, you're never going to start. You have to go to an open mic. It might be the best, it might be the worst, but if it's something you want, you need to put yourself out there. I also say to them, talk to people. It's so important to talk to people. I'm a bit of a hypocrite saying this, but if you're having a problem and you can articulate to people, it's important you do so. Never feel afraid to, because how will you be understood if you don't, once again, put yourself out there? That's my general point. If you can, put yourself out there and you gain something. Not something bad, but you gain an ability to the socializing, I feel, is very important. I never try to get anything out of it in a bad light. I just think parents of autistic people just to hold out. They're your child, love them, support them intensely. My parents made mistakes, but they did it because they were desperately trying to help me.
Right.
Like, I don't hold it against them because they were still, they loved me that much. They loved their child and tried to help them. So to autistic people that are high functioning enough, put yourself out there. To parents of autistic people, support them to almost extremes because mm-hmm. you're going to need to help them.
That's beautiful. And I think everybody can use that advice.
Yeah, it's pretty generalized. I have way too many problems that I could be of any service. But I'm glad I've been able to do things like autism charity shows and perform on there. Like, as I'm glad I can be a positive existence in general. I give myself such shit, you know. Mm-hmm. And I don't want people to pity or sympathy or unearned sympathy. Give me unearned sympathy. I just want to do the right thing, one way or another.
Are you open to people reaching out to you on social media?
No. Please DM me on Instagram or Twitter at Autistic Thunder. That's thunder like thunder and lightning. Some people, I really practice to pronounce the TH sound, and they always turn it into an F. Like, it's Autistic Thunder, all one word, Twitter, Instagram. I don't have a fan page. The one I do, I don't use anymore, at least for now, on Facebook. So forget about Facebook. Just Twitter, Instagram, at Autistic Thunder.
Hell yeah.
Joshua Myrowitz.
Joshua Myrowitz. Great episode. What do you think, Brandon?
Thank you for having me.
That was pretty swell myself.
That was pretty, what was it? It wasn't schlub. The movie term?
Schlock. Schlock. It wasn't schlock.
Schlock. You're talking about being a schlub, like sort of a lazy, non-go-getter. Like, yo, what a schlub.
Right.
Well, you're a schlub on the couch. Has been there for years.
You're a go-getter, Josh. What, Joshua?
Oh, you're too kind.
And we're going to go see Child's Play. No one's going?
What?
Is no one going?
No one going.
Nolan.
Who's Nolan?
Logan.
What's happening?
I don't know. I don't think I've met them. It's purely, as far as I know, you and me. You and I.
Okay, so you must have been fucking me. There's a comedian who, he was like,
I probably know him, but I'm not recognizing the name sounds familiar, but I probably know him better by face, which is a common thread for me. There's people I've known for like 9 years out of the 10, or even 10 years, and I'll forget their name.
Me too.
Or sometimes I'll forget their face and know them by name. We're messes, but the solidarity is immense, and I love you all. Brandon, pleasure to see you. Ryan, always a pleasure, and I'm glad to enjoy a movie with you after this. I hope I did not talk over you guys too much.
You did not at all, actually. This is one of the smoothest podcasts we've ever had.
It really is.
I pride myself as an open book, so you guys or anyone else can just message me, and I'll answer everything.
That's amazing, dude. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we end the episode by saying, I'm sorry, Dad.
So,
I'm sorry, Dad.
I'm sorry, Dad.
Much love. That's my usual end. I'm sorry, Dad.
I want to thank Arm & Hammer, Cat Litter, 2019 Cloud Control for sponsoring this episode and helping my cat stay clean and my bathroom clean. I keep Ralph's litter box in the bathroom. And typically, most cat litters, there's a bunch of clouds, bunch of dander, and my bathroom gets disgusting. And that's what I love about Arm & Hammer Cloud Control Cat Litter. You know what I love? My cat. I love Ralph. She makes me laugh every day. She just looks at me and makes me laugh. And she helps me through tough times, for real. It might sound silly to all you non-pet owners, but if you love your pet, you know what I'm talking about. And you know that you love to treat them well because you genuinely, deeply love them. I get it. You know what I don't love? Cleaning up after Ralph's litter box, which is why Arm & Hammer created new Cloud Control Litter. There's no cloud or nasties when I scoop. It's 100% dust-free, free of heavy perfumes, and helps reduce airborne dander from scooping. So what happens in the litter box stays in the litter box. New Cloud Control Cat Litter by Arm & Hammer. More power to you.